was sort of chained to a tree for about 4 hours that evening, and then the police moved us on. Just basically, they erected a barrier around us and then said that we were in a construction site, so we didn't have the right certificate to be in the construction site. We were effectively trespassing, and if we didn't remove ourselves from the area, we would be arrested.
This is Louise Borignac, and she was protesting the trees being cut down in Randwick, a suburb in Sydney, to make way for the new City and South East light rail. She lives on the corner of Allison Road in Kensington, which, if you've ever heard of the Randwick Racecourse, it's about 5 minutes down the road from there. Louise's house is also very close to where these trees were, and she says since they've been cut down, it's made a huge change.
It was beautiful and green, and what was actually really nice is that it was just much darker there. You'd always see beautiful birds in the trees and possums. It was a pleasure to walk under, to ride your bike under. It just had multiple amenity benefits, and it just provided a little bit of oasis, a little bit of green to look at in a city that has a lot of hard structures and dark structures. So
what does it look like now?
It's just very light, and there's just a lot of wood chips just left there. So the remains of a beautiful living creature.
The plan for the Randwick light rail is that it will fork when it gets to Allison Road. So one way, it'll stretch up towards the university, past the Randwick racecourse and up towards the hospital. And then the other way, it will continue along Anzac Parade, along towards Kingsford. This line will also connect up towards the CBD. It's a welcome plan in theory because it could potentially reduce congestion on the roads around the city and make life a lot easier getting to and from places. But Louise is more worried about what's being lost due to the light rail.
1,277 trees are going to be removed from the Randwick local government area for the light rail project, and about 871 of those trees are kind of classified as significant. So a lot of them along Anzac Parade were planted to commemorate the Anzacs, and they're significant because they have an extensive canopy, so it's shading and heat mitigation, habitat for biodiversity, for bats and birds, for various insects, and also helping with stormwater retention and, you know, keeping the soil in good condition as well.
Even the name light rail sounds like something more eco-friendly. It sounds lighter, smoother, and better for the environment than normal trains. So culling some trees and putting an eco-friendly mode of transport that's needed in a growing city can't really do that much harm, right? Or can it?
Some work that was actually done by the institute where I work was looking at tree canopy cover in a lot of urban local government areas in Sydney, and the Randwick local government area only had 14% tree canopy cover, which is actually the third worst performing in terms of tree canopy cover in all of the 39 urban local government areas in Sydney. So actually 46% of Randwick local government area is sort of these hard, dark surfaces. So the removal of these trees is going to make the area and the community that lives in these areas much more vulnerable to the impacts of climate change now and into the future. So it's no small thing.
It's not only an environmental health issue, but a money one too.
This kind of extreme heat in Australia actually costs the Australian economy $6.2 billion a year. That's in sort of people becoming sick, not attending work. So it's not a small matter, and we really need to be retaining as many urban street trees as possible because that provides the only cost-effective way to reduce these heat impacts that we're going to see more and more of across Sydney and across Australia in the future.
And speaking of costs,
the whole principle of light rail, it's cheaper to build, should be cheaper to build, but this South City and South East light rail is one of the most expensive light rail projects in the world. $2.1 billion for 13 kilometres of line. That's absurdly expensive.
That's Colin Schroeder, co-convener of EcoTransit.
Now, EcoTransit is a public advocacy group for public and active transport.
Colin and EcoTransit are all for the light rail as a sustainable mode of transport, but only if it's done the right way, which Colin says isn't happening.
The reason they're destroying trees is that they're running the light rail alongside the busway. Now, the busway was the old original tram tracks. Trams ran down those corridors up to the early 60s under the trees. There was no problem. The trees weren't as big then, but there was no problem. The only reason they're destroying trees now is because, for some reason, they won't move the buses, what buses will be left running those routes, onto Anzac Parade and put the trams back where they used to run. They're putting the trams alongside the busway. There was no need for that. Why have a busway as well as the light rail? They could have easily put the light rail back where the trams used to run and shifted what bus routes were left onto Anzac Parade.
Louise Borignac from earlier says this might have something to do with the Randwick racecourse.
Yeah, the Australian Turf Club want to put in an 8-storey hotel that has an entertainment complex and bars and various other things at that site. And it's classified as a state significant development, and that's essentially why the light rail route was amended from that south end to the other end. And there's 6 lanes of traffic that go along Anzac Parade. Why couldn't we have taken 2 of those lanes out to put the light rail there if we actually are attempting to displace car use along that area in the eastern suburbs?
In terms of practicality, the actual size of the light rail trams is also an issue. Back to Colin.
They've gone to 67-metre long trams, the longest trams in the world. And the only reason they've done that is that RMS won't give the light rail traffic light priority. So you can only run trams every 4 minutes, which means to get the capacity you require, you have to have these ultra-long trams. Now, when they're running down George Street, it's going to be a big obstruction to the movement of people across George Street, even though in the pedestrian plaza section. It just doesn't make sense. Now, we should have a tram every 2 minutes, half the length.
And there's also an issue with how the light rail actually operates.
Instead of having overhead power collection, you have a third rail, which is activated when the tram's over it. So there's no chance of people getting electrocuted, but so the activation's when the tram's actually sitting over the rail. It has been used overseas, but it's a much more expensive system to use. It'd be much better to go for the standard overhead wire collection. And even in very historic cities like Dublin, through the centre of Dublin, they've opted for just standard overhead wire because the overhead wire collection now is very simple. You don't have big skeins of wire everywhere like you used to with the old systems. It would be a much cheaper option and also probably a more reliable option because, you know, with Sydney's rainfall, we saw what happened last weekend with the rain. What's going to happen to this third rail? How's it going to survive that sort of deluge of water?
Why are they using the one on the ground then?
Well, they think aesthetics looks better not having the overhead wire. But as I said, the overhead wires today are not intrusive. You just have to go to Adelaide and you see the overhead wires going through Adelaide. It's not offensive.
With so much hype and effort poured into this new light rail system, you'd hope as someone who might be using it that it's the best that it can be. For Louise, that's a definite concern, but there's also something else on her mind.
What makes me angry is that the community wasn't effectively consulted in the decisions. Of course, we need a modern transport system for Sydney. There's, you know, obvious traffic congestion. But what makes me angry is that basically contradicts the government's own policies. So they have this 2014 Metro Strategy, which is a plan for growing Sydney. And one of the goals in it advocates a balanced approach to developing Sydney, which protects the natural environment and improves the livability of Sydney, but also balances the need for growing infrastructure for a city. And I guess, I mean, in terms of this case, the state government really overlooked the need to balance the natural environment and the development of the light rail. And so the trees and the local community and the environment have certainly lost out in this instance.